Before we get too far into this for Fly Racing Racer X podcast, thanks to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com. Check them out on the web. We've got authorized service centers all across America as well. Tell them you listen to Pulp. They'll get a deal on it. Suspension work, motor work, all of it. Springs. Get your right springs for your weight and or size, people. It makes a hell of a difference. Trust me, I know this. Racetech.com. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Keir Sexton coming up here, father of Chase. Some interesting thoughts in here, I think. I think everybody will enjoy this podcast. And, yeah, thanks for listening, man. Fly Racing, 25 years of Fly, whether it's helmets, whether it's goggles, boots, gear, all of it, they've got it for you, flyracing.com. New Kinetic helmet out now, and the Kinetic stuff's been really, really good for those guys. The helmets, they've sold maybe the most Kinetic helmets out of anything they got. So please check that out. New colors, new design, new safety features, and the formula. Also, step up from that Kinetic. Please check out that formula helmet. Love it. It's great. RJ Hampshire running Fly out there with the points lead right now. So, yeah, the stuff works. It looks really well. Works really well, looks really good. Flyracing.com. Please check it out at your local dealer or motorsport.com. Thank you to the motorsport guys, by the way. Whether it's aftermarket parts, whether it's OEM parts, they've got the great prices, they got the great shipping, they got a dedicated team of gearheads there to help you out. And yeah, man, thanks to the folks at motorsport.com for all that they do. The number one online ordering place in the world is motorsport.com. So thank you to those guys. Renthal, love the guys at Renthal. Monster Energy Kawasaki, Red Bull KTM Factory Honda using Renthal products, grips, bars, chains, sprockets, all of it. You know the name. You know how long they've been doing, making quality products for over there in the UK and made to the best of tolerances. Their website is super informative and super helpful. So, yeah, if you're looking in the market for any of those hard parts for any kind of bike, any kind of year, they've got you covered, Renthal.com. And don't forget about their mountain bike products as well. Thank you to the folks at Maxxis Tires, Kay Clayson, Hunter Yoder, Cartwright, Fast Freddy, among others, putting Maxxis tires in main events. MXSTs developed by Jeremy McGrath. They got soft intermediate to hard terrain tires available now as well. They got a paddles. So the Maxxis guys have been really stepping up their product. So please check them out. If you're in the market for a tire and you haven't thought about Maxxis for a while, well, it might be time to. So thank you to the guys at Maxxis and Renthal, motorsport.com. And of course, the Flies of Fly Racing guys. All right, here's myself and Keir Sexton talking but a lot of stuff. And so thanks very much for that. Thanks for listening. On to the show. All right, everybody. As promised here on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast, my next guest, I've been trying to get this gentleman for a while. He's been a little busy. Imagine that with the Supercross series. It is Keir Sexton. What's up, Keir? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. That's I know you've been trying to get a hold of me for a bit, and I was just busy testing and doing a bunch of stuff, so
yeah,
finally get on.
No, listen, it's not a problem. I didn't see you in Foxborough as we record this, but did you have the shorts on?
Yes, I did, and
okay.
I kind of regretted that.
No, you got to stay strong. Like, you got to keep them on. I got a few, you know, crazy looks that I can't believe you're in shorts, but, I mean, if you're not going to break it, then I'm not going to break it.
No, I stuck with it, but I'll be honest, I started second guessing it because I'm just a guy that doesn't look at the weather, so I just I live in Florida, so I don't have to wear pants.
Yeah, but then Chase said that your wife made you put them on this year, or did you have to do that or no?
No, she'll warn me when it's going to be really bad. But
mm-hmm.
I remember she called. What race was that? And she said tell me you're not wearing shorts. Like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Right. It wasn't as bad as, because she's seen everybody had sweatshirts and stuff on, but I don't know. If you have a sweatshirt on and a hat on, you're fine. Your legs, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, good. Well, listen, that's the bond we have, you and I. It's the burden we bear, shorts. So.
For sure, yeah.
yeah, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. Look, obviously it hasn't been the season that you guys hope for. You got to win. I thought he rode. I told him after the race in Foxborough, I thought it was his best race of the year. So maybe things are turning back around. What's your assessment of the year? Like everything you did, the bike change, everything else. Like, you know, where are you at in your mind?
You know, I didn't think it would be as difficult as bad. It's not on KTM or nothing like that. It's just getting. They probably tried too hard. And we probably should have just throttled back and just rode some of the stuff long, you know what I mean? Just had more time to do our motos, stuff like that. And, nothing against them. Nothing, yeah. You know, they'll do anything. Like they've been great. But it's a little surprise on how difficult it was to make the switch. And I guess maybe if we just went into outdoors, where, you know, everyone's more comfortable, it might have been an easier transition, but we come into Supercross, he's a champ, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of stuff going against us and them as well everybody's expectations were super high. And we just couldn't get that ball rolling. You know, we didn't pick the bike for money or anything. It was the best bike that we tried. And we were 100%, we're still 100% on board. Mm-hmm. It's taken time to get used to everything. And, you know, he's coming around. It's, you know, outdoors will be really good, I feel. And, you know, Supercross is going to end strong as well. So,
yeah. Do you think Foxborough was his best race of the year?
You know, it's really changed since, honestly.
Okay.
Would be Birmingham.
Okay.
Would probably have been like a turning point to where I started to see him. Mentally, it was starting to beat him up a bit, you know, and just to get him to push as hard as he can and leave it all out there, you know. I'm like, you can't be ashamed if you're not the fastest guy or whatever. Sometimes he's almost holding himself back so that he doesn't have to, you know, take it so hard, you know, and maybe putting some blame on the bike when some of it's on him as well. So he's starting to push and push the whole moto. You know, Seattle was really good.
Yep.
You know, and the funny thing is the rougher it gets, the better the bike is. So I'm like, you know, I think if he trusts the process a little bit more on him, it's just getting that trust back, I think he'll be fine.
If you switched from Honda to Cowie or Honda to Suzuki or whatever, you'd be probably better off than a switch from aluminum frame to steel frame bike. Do you think that's right?
Man, I just I don't really buy into that because if you look at Chase's age, so Chase was rode a Yamaha YZ85 till he was 15 and 14, so he's 24 years old. So he was on a steel frame longer than he's been on an aluminum frame.
Sure,
right?
Okay.
So I'm not saying it's that. Maybe that's a little bit more into it than what we really gave it credit for. But you know, I don't know. I think it's more of him grasping he's a champ and handling that pressure on himself more.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
I don't know how to tell him how to handle that. I mean, hell, I never did anything like that. So, you know, he's it was a big step for him. A lot of eyes on him. You know, he's the champ coming in and maybe a little bit more pressure than what he anticipated.
Right. Yeah. I hear for the grapevine, Roger DeCoster, Ian Harrison, been very positive, working very hard, you know, accepting feedback, trying to do things right. Obviously, we know you guys did this switch with the forks, which was, you know, really crazy for KTM to allow. But am I correct in saying from what I hear, the KTM bosses have been really, really understanding and working really hard?
I mean, it's that's why I'm like, Chase, like, you can't be afraid to just put it all out there, because these guys have done everything mm-hmm. for you. You know, they're Rodgers, super cool. You know, and I like him. He's a little more hard nosed. He has a point where he's like, just need to ride the bike. You know, he's told us a couple times and stuff like that.
He's a little like that, for sure, right.
I appreciate that. Ian is on the other side where he's super supportive. He tells us thank you, you know, stuff like that. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I would want to kill this kid at this point. But, you know, I'm screaming at him. But, they've been
good.
The whole team, Carlos, Frankie, you know, Zim, of course, is our mechanic. Jade helps us. Everybody's always helping each other. Pager, we've got mm-hmm. everybody everybody has the same goal to win. And that's really, honestly, the reason the choice was so easy for us to go to here was that everyone seemed to be, and not that you know, Honda was the same, but they're just different. You know, mm-hmm. they were just totally focused in, and they, you know, I think that, winning to them is everything, but if it doesn't work out, they also are very supportive as well. So
you know your son better than anybody, and I want to dive more into this later on in the podcast about riding technique and the things you help him with, because I've talked to Zim about this a while back. And do you, Kier, when you watch Chase ride, and you know, look, he was fastest dude in like 18 qualifying sessions last year. He's not been fastest guy once this year. You know, he's got one win. But when you watch your son ride, do you see the same technique, form, elbows? You know he's working with Peter Park still. Fitness, I'm sure, is fine. Do you see him the same riding style as on a Honda last year?
It's changed some.
Okay.
You know, maybe some of it becomes youth, you know, he's 24. It's not that he's old.
No, but yeah.
He was always, so anybody that's ever talked to me is that I have Chase. He's a bigger rider who was small his whole life. So he rides a bike mm-hmm. as a little rider, but he's big. And so we've always been trying to work on, you know, kind of adapting to that. He kind of grew when he got on the big bike, kind of like Adam, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, Chase was fortunate enough not to be hurt as much as Adam. Adam did a lot of growing when he was off the bike, and that's I don't know how he did it, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, Chase is as he gets more comfortable, everything comes around. Like, we're moving things around. We've adjusted some of his bar clamps. We moved them forward, try to give him more room. He likes the cramped position, mm-hmm. but I'm like, it's not necessarily the best thing for you. It's slightly different, but as he gets faster, it comes back. Like, as he's starting to get things going,
mm-hmm.
You're starting to see more of what he looked like on a bike, you know? So, but it's been different, just, you know, different chassis and stuff like that. So I take mm-hmm. kind of some of that into consideration, but, definitely has changed a bit,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I look at like how when I met Kenny and how he looks now, it's just different. You know, how they have to do things different. You know,
sure.
Eli does things a little different. You know, so, uh-huh. You know, it's kind of that type of thing that I'm trying to figure out a little bit. So,
yeah, I hear through the grapevine again, like, you know, you raced, right? But you never, mm-hmm. as far as I know, Kier, you were not Supercross champion.
No.
So you raced, but you really helped Chase with riding technique as far as like, hey, I see you're not doing this. You need to do this more. You're tired. You're like you're not just the practice bike guy and making sure the bike's good. You are helping him like Darren Lawrence and others, where you're helping your son with riding technique, and that's a big part of it from what I hear through the grapevine. You know what he should look like when he's on.
Yeah. I mean, he comes around and we pit board, and every mm-hmm. time, you know, he'll have something on there, like, you know, clipping or doing something or telling him to put his outside elbow up, you know, stuff like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
he sees a lot of it, but it's not brain surgery, you know, like I wasn't fast, you know, I started riding late, and it was something that I was really into. And, you know, as he grew, I just kind of,
yeah,
you know, kind of learned what I liked. You know, we kind of mimicked people, you know, Kevin Windham, Chad Reed, people like that. That was like who Chase grew up like idolizing. And, you know, he would, we'd go to local races and pick out people that we like, you know, that we like their form, stuff that you can learn something from everyone, you know? And, but yeah, it's, he sees a lot. It's probably not real fun for him a lot, but you know, we do it.
I got to say, you deserve a lot of credit. We had, you know, last year, look, it turned out great. He won the Supercross title. But, you know, those crashes, the losing the leads, being the fastest guy all season. I've been around for a long time, Kier, and a lot of riders that threw races away like Chase would just be hiding in their motorhomes and would never come out and this and that. And I told Chase this even off the record. Like, I was really impressed. I said it on my shows and shit too, but I was really impressed with him facing the music, being honest, talking about the problems, you know, talking about getting back to work at him. Even this year, he's been really nice to deal with. He's been honest. You raised yourself a really good kid, because let me tell you, the pressures and the stress and the money and the things that, the downs of the sport, that Chase has not been scared to come out and face them is impressive, man, because there's many a champion that just does not want to talk about this stuff. So I just want to give you props for raising you and your wife, for raising him right, man. He is a hell of a guy to deal with on the media side, good or bad, you know? Great.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, his whole life, you know, growing up, racing locally and stuff, people be, you know, oh, he's a great rider and stuff. But everything that stuck more than anything was that he's a good kid. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how fast you are on a dirt bike, you know, as long as you're a decent person, you know, and he's got a big family and, you know, he's, we try to keep him grounded, you know, that's, it's hard to do. I mean, a lot of people want to make him so he's not, but, you know, he's smart enough now to know the difference, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, I guess at some point in his amateur career or whatever, you probably said to him, hey, man, this is what you got to do. You have ups, you have downs, you know, put on a brave face, thank your sponsors, and we'll get back to work, right? I mean, you would have had that talk with him somewhere along the line.
Oh, yeah. He's you know, had good like racing amateurs and stuff. You always have a good race, bad race, whatever. And, you know, he's stronger than, you know, he's probably a little more, I don't think I would do those interviews.
No, but dude,
he does them, you know, so, he's taken on some of his mom's way of thinking. And, you know, I'm a little bit more, give me about maybe about 12 hours, then I'm fine. But
Well, that's my next question. That leads me up. So do you have a 10-minute rule? Because, look, you're fiery. I've heard, I've seen it. I've heard obviously I want to get into the relationship between a father and a son and all that. But you're a fiery guy. Do you have a 10-minute rule?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much – with Supercross, it's way better than local racing, right? Because you can get to them a lot quicker. So, but I learned, you know, even towards the end of his amateur days, is that I would just stay and just come back a little later because he's mad, I'm mad. You know what I mean? Not good. But it's harder to come back to a whole rig because you really want to let them know what you think, but you can't. You know, so. So it takes a little bit, but I try to like calm down before I get there. But KTM's good; like they don't, you can just tell the truth, and people let people, you know. And even Honda, if you're not having a good day, they don't mind you, as long as it's not out in the open. And stuff, you know, there's a lot of people that take a butt chewing behind the, you know, behind closed doors. So.
Right. And do you feel like you're hard? Do you feel like you're hard on them? Like you're, you know, I guess a, do you feel like you're hard on them?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, I've said since he was little, behind every great athlete's an asshole, I'm sure. So, if I have to be that, that's fine. But, you know, I mean, I do know, like, it's tough because we travel together, we do everything, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, at some point you have to kind of let it go because, you know, usually when we're driving back, I'll start in and then I'll start getting wound up about what happened and stuff, but I try to keep it a little bit. And he, you know, just last weekend, he's like, oh, man, you're trying to make it not fun. And I'm like, no. I mean, at some point, Chase, we've always tried to keep it fun. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this is your job. So, and everybody has, like, you have to answer to someone, you know. And fortunately in your life, you get to do what you love. And but you do have to hear what's not right. And it's not always about that was fine. You know, we gave up. I feel like we should have beat Coop, and we gave up those points. I'm like, you got to start thinking about this stuff. And at 24, he's still young, but I'm like, he's, you know, race wins, all that starts to go away from you, right? You know, so if you give up two or three, you know, even like last year with the crashing, I didn't think as much. It's now, because I've seen the push. I'm like, you can't be conservative and think that you're still going to win that championship. Like, you have to be out there. When I see that you're pushing and something happens, I'm a little bit more lenient on that stuff.
Sure, yeah. So how do you balance the father part of it and, like, at dinner, just, you know, talk about sports or talk about the family or talk about, I don't know, like, how do you balance that? Because, honestly, when you and I have both seen many dads that have not help their kids and not help the situation with teams and all of that over the years. There's been so many of them. And you know, you guys are a great team, and I've done my asking around, and people say that you bring out the best in him, and it's a good team, and yes, you guys fight, but overall it works, and we can see that. Yeah. So how do you balance it? How do you balance the, I'm your dad. Let's not talk about the race.
I mean, we do, you know, we're at dinner together like all weekend, but like, it was good for him to get his own house, you know, stuff like that, and get away. But, you know, cause we're at the track together every day, you know, so it's, is it a normal relationship? Father, son, like, hey son, you know, I'm not that guy that's going to go, hey, at least you had fun. Let's hug, you know, but
hey, you got a trophy. You know, you got a trophy.
Yeah. All right. Cool. You know, I'm border between that, maybe a little bit psycho, you know, type thing. But yeah, I try. We try. Yeah, you know, we go out. His girlfriend will be with us and stuff, and I'll try to keep it a little bit even keel. I got to work on that still.
Yeah,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm not great at it. I'm not gonna toot my own horn and say that I'm great at it. So
you help Chase, practice bike guy, you know, riding coach, all of that stuff. Did you? You know, and like, in a way, Keir, like, you guys won the lottery. Your kid made it. Like, he's a millionaire. And you did all the things you could do as a dad and all the success. Did you ever think about stepping away? Like, you work hard. I'm sure you work your ass off. Were you always just all in? I'm the practice. I'm your guy. Did you think about stepping away at different points and putting on a team shirt and sitting in hospitality? Or that's just not you?
I would say that's not me.
Okay.
yeah, I would just be, I mean, I would probably, you know, I think about it, but, I mean, if we've gotten this far and I'm almost like, we could finish it out, but if it becomes too much to where we're starting to, you know, argue, you know, too much, yes, for the sake of us, I would walk away.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, we kind of keep it, we have our fights and stuff like that.
Of course.
It's not normal, you know, how this all goes down when you're the dad, you're the practice mechanic, you're doing all this.
Yeah.
So, well, the only good thing about it is I'm the practice mechanic, and if he says he wants to do something and I don't want to, I just tell him no. Yeah. I mean, I'm maybe a practice mechanic, but I'd probably still be at the track and bothering everybody. So
yeah.
It's probably just better off I'm there working on the bike.
Yeah, good point, right? how do you hold it together with the wife? And she's in Illinois, right?
She lives here.
Oh, she does. Oh, okay. I thought she was back in Illinois. Okay, so how's that? Like, good, like, it's fine for as a husband and trying to, you know, all of that.
Yeah, I mean, she's happy. She just loves me, and it's been, you know, she feels lucky every day she gets out of bed, I think.
Nice.
No, it's I'm sure it's worse for her, but, you know, like, I don't know if people know, but, like, when we moved to, so I was at work, and seeing things weren't, they want me to do to be at work more, because I think they felt like, well, Chase is going on his career, you know, now Keir can just be at work more, and I wasn't willing to do it, and we just came to a crossroads where I said, yeah, that's fine, you know, I'll leave. And so I came home, I told my wife, I said, where are you going to move? Like, let's move. I said, my daughter was in gymnastics, and she was going from Lamoille, Illinois to DeKalb, which is an hour, 15 minutes or whatever, but she was going 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. And I'm like, find us somewhere with a gym close, and we'll do it. I said, pass Atlanta, and me and Chase will make this work. And so she comes home, and she's like, Claremont, Florida. I'm like, huh? I go, all right. So I called Jeff Myshack, and I said, well, my wife wants to go to Claremont, Florida. She wants to, because she's a teacher, so she gets a job anywhere.
Yep.
And she wants to go to job fair there. And he's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, what? He's like, well, we own the facility. Like, Grondel owns the facility in Claremont. I'm
yeah,
like, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we literally picked Claremont, Florida for a gym. Like a
That's
gymnastics.
Funny. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And then, of course, then my daughters now, my oldest, she broke her ankle, got out of it, was in high school, and then decided to play baseball or softball. And now she's on a scholarship to Florida Tech. And then my littlest one, she plays softball. So they're doing their thing. But, yeah, as far as for us, she's like right now, she's at hitting practice. I come home, I'll be with Max. And, you know, it's kind of like, we don't really see each other. The funny thing is that we'll all both be in Nashville, but she'll be playing softball and Chase will be at Supercross.
Yeah. And then I'm sure the wife gets a call from Chase, and Chase is like, Mom, Dad, you know, Dad tore me a new one, or, you know, whatever. And yeah, it's just like your wife's like, oh, Keir, stop it.
You know? She doesn't really get too involved. Like, I want to, I should blow her out here. I got to find this text from last week. But I she sends me a text and she goes, what's the problem now?
Oh, that's funny.
She first would have been the second the first time practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just texts me, what's the problem now?
Yeah,
she's about as hard on.
Yeah.
He absolutely hates taking any criticism from her.
Right, right. Yeah, she's.
I think that hurts his feelings way more than me, because he can't handle that.
Did you work on your own bikes growing up and racing, and then just were naturally, like, mechanically skilled all through the mini bike days and all that, or did you really have to, like, teach yourself how to work on a motorcycle?
Well, I was so growing up, I had bicycles and then dirt bikes, of course, and then so I kind of taught myself, and I was kind of like, I liked mechanics, right? But so I was like, man, I knew I couldn't probably make any money doing motorcycles, so I went into automotive, which I ended up being a parts guy, and then I ended up running the parts and service department.
Okay.
But I don't like working on cars at all.
Yeah.
But it was kind of that, and then so once Chase was when I rode, I was lucky if I changed the air filter maybe twice a month. But you know, so then once Chase started riding, I kind of just kind of taught myself, and you know, it's not that difficult. I don't do the engine work, cause, like, we had JMS dinner motors when he was little.
Yep.
You know, so I just basically changed motors, do top ends, stuff like that.
Yep. Yep.
And then the four stroke I thought was going to be a lot more difficult, but it's not that bad. I just do swap engine stuff like that. I swap parts, you know.
Yep.
It's not that difficult.
So. Right, right. And then how much do you, like, obviously he works with Peter Park as far as fitness goes, but the riding program, you guys are at Baker's Factory, but you're doing your own thing. Are you setting that up for him, or who sets sort of like, hey, today we do 130, tomorrow we do 230s, like that kind of stuff? Who sets that up? Is you and Chase?
Peter and Chase do it.
Oh, okay. So they set up the train, the riding too. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Peter came from, so in high school I ran. I know it's weird, but but I was a runner.
Yep.
But so Peter, I knew Peter because of what he had done, because from, like, Ironmans and stuff. So
oh, okay.
I know what he does, and we have kind of literally kind of the same thing, like the way we think about doing the training part of it as far as on the bike. And so it kind of works out good. I just trust I don't really want to deal with that part of it. I got enough of this going on. So,
yep.
But if I came in and he said I was going to do two twos and go home, that probably wouldn't cut it. I would be involved then. But I don't say too much on the riding program.
I don't think you get to where Chase is by slacking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's not afraid to work. That's like in the gym and stuff like that. He has a good work ethic. We kind of taught him when he was little. I would take him out, and I was running and stuff. I'd take him out. He'd run like a block and stuff like that, just so that he kind of got to where he kind of felt like he had to do something every day.
Sure.
I grew out of that myself.
Did you race District 23 at all, like in the late 80s, 90s?
No. I was plus, I think I started riding plus 25 maybe, and racing. But I rode bikes, had street bikes, stuff like that.
Okay.
But, yeah, I wasn't a big motocrosser. I got my A card and I was done.
Okay, good. That was it, huh?
Yep.
Keir Sexton here on the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Thanks to Renthal, Motorsport, Maxxis, all on board with us as well. So last year, the Honda, I know behind the scenes, you guys were trying everything on the bike and he was crashing. It worked out great. You won the title. How frustrating was that for you, Keir? Like, is it easy to say that, through all the amateur stuff, a couple of broken legs, or at least one broken leg in there, and all the amateur stuff, the heat stroke issue that he had, all of this stuff, is it safe to say that last year was the most frustrated you guys have been? Or maybe this year, but like, I got to think at some point you guys are just like, what the hell is going on? Is it Chase? Is it the bike? Is it Chase and the bike? Like, what's happening?
I was just talking to Beeks, I think, and I said, I'm like, man, I'm super frustrated this year. But I'm like, I watched the bar-to-bar thing. The first time I saw it, I happened to be laying in the – it was last weekend.
Okay.
And I was laying in the hotel room, and I'm like watching it, and I'm like, oh, my God, how do we get through that? Because he would just be – I'm like, he threw away so many races. But fortunately for him, he threw them away late enough in the race that he could still get up and still finish and get probably a podium or whatever he got. But as far as like getting hurt as amateur, he didn't really get hurt much. So then he would try to go pro, and then he went to, let's see, we came out of Loretta's, he won Loretta's, and he came out 2 days later, we're at the Sandbox, and he had an avulsion fracture, which was, it was already happening, kind of like, it was weird because he kept saying that the knee's popping out. I'm like, the knee doesn't pop out, because if it did, that would be good. And but it finally, the meniscus basically rolled over and it wouldn't pop back out, so he got that fixed, and then he went back and tried to come for Supercross and he broke both his wrists, and then he came back out for Atlanta and broke his femur.
That was
a little bit of front. That was honestly the most he'd been hurt. Let's see, 18, 19.
I remember femur happened, it was like, is this kid like, is he going to be able to come back from this? Because he just got back from the wrist, right? And it was, I remember at the time it was like, this poor guy. Like,
Yeah, it was a lot, but it was just like, the Geico team was so good about it. It all happened. Like, he literally had, like, I would say, if you'd have had those injuries, it would have taken up a year and a half, and he did them in 8 months.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
It was just weird. I mean, it may be longer than that. But
Yeah.
He did them super quick. He had some time off, because it was basically he was going to try to do the last four rounds of outdoors. So he missed those, and then he was trying to get ready for Supercross, broke his wrist. But then, the femur, and then the next year we tried to – so he did 18, got through Supercross. Then he goes, and we're going to go – were we going to go west? Because I think Christian broke his thumb or something.
Okay.
And so we're going to go – like, we got the call, we're going to go west. Well, then he went out and broke his collarbone on a mountain bike.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Then,
yeah, wasn't he? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he was. Myshak was not happy about that.
No. I told Jeff, I said – He got a motocross kid who's coming down a hill on a bicycle. He's not going to be going slow. We all know this, right? And then the next year, I get the call, and he's out there getting ready to go West Coast for 20, and he breaks his collarbone on a pit bike. So, but there really wasn't that many injuries. But probably the most frustrating, I gotta be. It's been tough this year, not from effort or anything like that. It's just been, seems like just getting in our groove. This has probably been the most frustrating. It's got nothing to do with team, nothing.
Yeah.
It's just getting the ball rolling. You know, I think it's. I think it truly kind of comes down to Chase. Not a lot of guys repeat in this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, just he's young. He's trying to get that all. You know. Get that and process that, and I think
I think he's only the third Supercross champion to switch teams, you know, after winning the title. It doesn't happen very often, you know. So
yeah. And I mean, yeah, poor KTM. They ended up with I think there's a lot of pressure from that, and it's just like taking him on, and it's been a little bit. Frustrating, but
so looking back on last year, do you think it was a Honda problem? You know, Kiefer, who's a test rider, and I respect his opinion a lot. And you know, we rode your bikes at Washougal, and you seem to, you know, you and Kiefer got really deep into like frame talk at one point.
Yeah.
Kiefer's like, look, man, the Honda's got a light front end. It rides the front end wanders a bit, and you could put more weight on it, but that makes it not work that well. And I can get what Chase is doing on a Honda. And again, I respect Kiefer a lot. Do you think it was some of that a bike specific? Front end wash, obviously some of it's on Chase, some of it's on Chase, but like, you know, do you think?
Yeah, it comes, it all boils down to like, hey, you know, it doesn't like it, don't do it, right?
Right, so, right, sure, yeah.
But you know, like we figured out after Seattle how you know he goes going down the straightaway and flipped over his bars. I'm like, like this shit doesn't happen, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But we figured out that we basically took trail off, so we put less tire to the track, and that helped a ton. Like it and
less tire on the track. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and it was digging what I felt and we had all talked about is that it was like it was just digging in too much because it of course you know he had the frame, he had all that stuff, and it just seemed like it was it would over. You'd almost get to where you'd think it was pushing, but it was kind of oversteering, and it kind of like that's where we kind of figured it out. And after that, we were fine.
Yeah.
After that, everything was the bike was really good.
Yeah.
You know? But Chase had a super long. Basically, we ended up on a super long Honda.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Interesting. You know? Yeah. It was definitely some weirdo stuff for sure. And you know, all of us in the media are like, "What is going on? Like, you know, this is weird." but he's pushing. I mean, he's the fastest rider in the world at you know in Supercross. Yeah. So. Yeah, shit happens, you know.
yeah. I've told him, I'm like, man, if you know it doesn't like it, it just didn't like you really being on the front end, and he just never could get that. So,
you guys, safe to say, Kier, I think we can say it now. You moved to 450s outdoors from Geico because frustration with the 250, right? I mean, that's kind of what we know.
I actually it wasn't. It wasn't frustration, it was the opportunity, right? So,
okay.
Honda actually came to us. So Chase won 19?
Yeah.
In 19. And then it was like after that, we were kind of like headed that way. Like we were going to go, we didn't even think about it. Like we were going to try to win the title again, and then we were going big bike. I always felt that Chase would be a better big bike rider.
Yep.
So, it wasn't a lot of people will sit there and look and say, hey, the blue bike or whatever. But I'm like, hey man, we took them on WW
in
the sand.
Yep.
And granted we melted ourselves down, but I'm like, we can do it, you know, but I truly do want to win an outdoors, but I just thought it was a great opportunity for Chase. You know, Honda's offering him a ride.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, we can't really pass this, you know, can't pass it up just to try to maybe win an outdoor, you know?
So, Chase still gives me shit about this. Like, I'm like, I can't believe this kid won one moto and he's going to 450 motocross. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, are we sure? And he still gives me shit about it because he was more than ready. but in your eyes, this was like a no-brainer, better 450 guy for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew that like once you just take away that engine part, you know what I mean? Like you just can't have this fire breathing bike that can you know, pull all the whole shots and all that. We just take and eliminate that, and we'll just go mano a mano against everyone, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, well, it worked. Yeah, for sure, man. The dude was good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe you can dispute another theory I have then. Like you said, you got the Honda figured out. Chase, you know, gave Jet all he wanted outdoors, even missed a couple rounds there and still was, you know, on him. You know, Honda wanted to keep you guys. There was no doubt. There was a contract offer made. They were happy. All of that. I think my theory is just, look, and it's not a Chase Sexton, Keir Sexton thing. It's just in this day and age, nobody wants to be alongside a guy that, you know, you're racing titles with. You want to be the A guy, the guy on your team, and that's the way it works. The 80s, when it used to happen in the 80s, those days are gone now. So to me, the move to KTM was more like, nothing wrong with Honda, nothing wrong with the money. We just want to be the guy on a team. And we're not sure with Jet and Hunter that we're going to be the guy. Am I in the right ballpark?
I've never really, being the guy thing was never that. It was just, it was more of like, I look at it like, hey, we're going to divide ourselves, and could we have done Honda? We liked Honda and thought about it, but, you know, there were things that he didn't like about the bike. Not that it was, you know, maybe it's just him, but, so I'm like, well, you know, let's do this. Cause when we want to go at Jet, it's us. Okay. We're on orange and you're on red. You've done your homework. We've done our homework. Let's go at it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
sure.
And if we're on red, then it's a little bit uneasy feeling. Like, all right, well, do we have a hand up? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like type of thing. But, Jeff's a good kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that I never really looked at like who was going to be the guy, you know,
cause
even when we signed with Honda, Kenny was, in people's eyes, the guy, but we didn't sign with Honda for Kenny to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
So we're going there not just to beat Kenny, because being the fast guy under the tent doesn't matter, right? If you get fifth and sixth, does it really matter? You want to win. So but we just, if, you know, when we go at this guy, we want to be able to, we've done everything now, you know, there's the blue guys, there's Jet, so we have to be, we've done our homework, we feel like we have the strongest program, and it's all a mental game. So if we separate ourselves, and not that that's why we, you know, it wasn't because you guys had Jet, we're leaving, that wasn't it at all, you know, because they would have made it work. They were perfectly good with us.
Yeah, it seemed
time.
Like it, yep.
We got just as much attention as they did, you know, so.
Yeah, it seemed like it. Like, I mean, obviously I'm buddies with Lars and all the guys, but it did seem to me from talking to people that, yeah, like, hey, you want to test? Let's test. We'll do whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it was Jet's getting testing, Hunter's getting tested, Chase, everybody's getting the same amount of attention.
Yep.
Was it ultimately, was Chase the guy to say, we're doing it? Were you talking him into it? What was I can imagine the sleepless nights a little bit of like, what are we doing? Do we do this? You know, Roger's calling, you know, the Honda's calling. Like, what was the ultimate, like, did he wake up in the morning or did you wake up in the morning and let's do it? Like, how did that moment happen?
Go back to Honda real quick before we stop thinking about it. But literally before we went to the line on the last Indiana round, last race, they were still wanting us to beat Jet. All right.
Yeah.
So, and not that they were, it wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't a vendetta or nothing, but they were literally like, hey, let's go ruin this perfect.
Yeah.
Not to that sense, but they wanted us to, but, as far as the decisions, that's all on Chase. It's whatever he's comfortable with. I'll watch, you know, I watch him ride them. I've seen him ride all the bikes and there was one, this was the bike that was the most impressive.
Okay.
Us.
Yeah. Yeah. And both of you felt that way? Like just
both of us. Yep. Yes. And I mean, people probably don't know, but Chase rode it multiple times because after the first time he thought, well, maybe I made a wrong decision because of people talking and stuff. And then it just reiterated, you know, so,
sure.
But ultimately, yes, if somebody offered Chase $5 million and he didn't like the bike, we would never sell. You know what I mean? It's not for money. It's what we feel like we could be the most competitive on.
Because you can make the most money if you win on it. So that's correct. That's the way you make the most money. So
yeah, you could sign a very lucrative contract and win races and be fine. So
yeah, exactly right. So yeah, I just can't imagine like. Yeah, again, Supercross champion, and the second fastest rider outdoors by far, behind the kid. And the decision to be like, we're leaving. That's big. It's big, you know? So it doesn't happen in our sport often. So I can imagine the decisions with, obviously talking to Beeks and yourself and your wife and Chase and, yeah, everybody's getting a
Yeah, getting a it was it. Actually a super easy, like, it was a really easy decision. It
was
wasn't
it? Yeah.
even.
Okay.
Yeah, what it was, wrote it, liked it, and it's like, oh, I mean, if anybody that's ever, had a little kid growing up and you, hey, I have the opportunity to ride Red Bull KTM with Roger DeCoster, it's not,
all right.
It kind of like checks a few boxes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, let's take it, right? Let's do it.
Yeah. But I mean, not impressed with just like, the bike was really, was truly good. And it's been more of a struggle once we get on it, but it's not, we have really good times, but it's just, little setbacks here and there, but, they've worked hard and,
yeah,
I think things are changing. So
Chase is too good of a rider to not figure this thing out. In my eyes, anyways, it's phenomenal. You know what I mean? As a rider, skill wise, how close did you guys come to doing designations for KTM? How close was it?
I was all in. I said yes.
I was all in.
I, maybe not because I mean we want to do it, for the country and stuff.
Yeah.
But we had we wrote it. And we got to ride it outdoors. I'm like, man, you can do this. Because he was going to go to Austria and everything anyways.
Yep.
So I was like, well, let's just do it. And, KTM had kind of saw it. If we'd have been like, yeah, we want to do this thing, they would have supported us. But they were kind of thinking, well, maybe this was a little quick. So, but yeah, we would have done it. Out of respect for all the sponsors and stuff, we couldn't do it, type of thing. But, I would have done it in a heartbeat. I trusted that we were in a good enough spot. So,
what would you change in this sport, Keir? You've been in it as a dad, as a mechanic slash coach. What makes you shake your head a little bit at the sport and the way we do things, either indoors or out or whatever? Like, is there things that you're just like, I can't believe we do this. We should change this. Anything come to mind?
If I had to change, I would change the whole amateur side, I would probably be way less like, I'm gnarly and think that working and everything is good, but the way the kids are having to go through the programs and stuff like that, I think we're seeing, it's flattening out, So,
do you mean the facilities, like riding facilities, or what do you?
I think it's a downfall. The kids aren't really being able to do, if a guy decides that he wants his kid to ride a dirt bike, and he might be the next Wayne Gretzky, who knows? You have to let him kind of. We let Chase kind of figure out what he wanted to do.
Yep.
He was always driven to the bike, but these kids are going to. I don't think it's going to be better for the sport in my mind.
They can't go to school now. They just can't.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, and most of these kids aren't going to make it. So
we're
going to have a lot of kids that don't really have any. It's not really. Can a kid do homeschool and be just as smart? Yes, but the social skills, they may aren't the best, right?
No, for sure, absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think I don't know that I'm sold on the futures thing, stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't think our tracks should suffer because we're having, we have to make a track easier for the kid. No, they're not kids. They're good riders. There's plenty of them that are good. But you're almost like shutting them down to where they're scared. You know what I mean? Like, and there's other ways to do it. Chase came through the arena cross, and that was perfectly fine. But we raced arena cross, you know, so Chase was maybe a little bit ahead of the game on that. But, you know, I don't know. It makes it tough when the pro program suffers a bit because you're going to bring in the future. You don't want to see kids spiraling themselves, you know, so I get it. But,
I looked at it is like there's so many facilities now with supercross tracks. These kids can ride a full-blown supercross track all over America. They don't need to race under the lights and all of that, you know, but.
But the whole thing is that these kids are riding them. And are they any better than what was came in? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't think they are.
No, I'm with you. Austin Faulkner seemed pretty damn good at Supercross right off the bat and didn't have a futures. And you go on down the list. You know, there's
Chase and him both pretty much cut like the same, pretty much mold together.
Yeah.
And they didn't. I remember we went to Monster Cup and we went and rode an arena cross track for 15 minutes. We didn't have a Supercross bike. We didn't have nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not that's kind of one of the things you have it or you don't, but I don't think these kids going out and crashing and on these supercross tracks all the time and I don't know if it's good or not, but I think that they could lay down on the kids being in these full programs.
Yeah, I mean, look, I talked to Wygan about it. You know, you're homeschooling all these kids; they're living at their facilities. They're only racing 10 times a year. They don't race local racing. They don't race arena cross. They don't do any of that. You can see a lot of kids have no, you know, racing skill out there, you know?
If somebody wants to do something interesting, go and pull Chase's stats when I can't remember the year, but see how many races he did. Like it's like unbelievable how many races he raced.
Yeah. I bet. Right. Hey, the decision to leave Sandbox for Baker's Factory was mostly KTM's decision, from what I know. And what did you want to do it? Were you fine with that? How's that working out?
So originally, I talked to him and I'm like, this would have been my plan. I'm like, you know, let us come in because I don't really know that much about Alden's program. I can't say good, bad, nothing, you know.
Right.
So, because it's kind of kept behind doors. So I'm like, let us come in. We'll come in there. We put us in a shop down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ride. I mean, I was even like, well, maybe we'll just go ahead and rent the one track, you know, Supercross track.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll work together. But it wasn't going to work out. So we did Sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came to us and said, hey, we'd really like you to go there. And I was fine with it because Sandbox has a lot of amateurs and stuff like that. It's just a lot of stuff going on. Nothing against that or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I was totally for it, yeah.
Well, then, Chase has been public, too. Like, you guys had a meltdown. Chase has talked about it at the Sandbox. And that's never good for the other competitors that, you know, Ken Roczen and Chisholm and these dudes that ride there. So
it's just easier to be not so have so many people around you know for us.
Yeah.
But
so what's your impressions of Baker's Place? Like, obviously, again, doing his own program, but what's your impressions? I heard I haven't been there for years. I heard it's insane now.
It's unbelievable. It's like going to a country club every day. You know, I mean, it's like going. I mean, Stewart's was the same way.
Yeah,
you pull in. It was, you know, there's no. It's no gravel, no nothing. You're, you know, it's.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. You know, it's Alden's day. The it's so clean. It's kind of. I'm kind of particular about that kind of stuff, and just real easy. You know, it makes it. Makes the day much easier when you're not frustrated with like little things like that. So
yeah, I'm question for you as an up and coming, you know, amateur dad and somebody, you know, getting in the Geico program and coming from Illinois. Did you have a dad of someone that you leaned on or asked advice for, you know, or you know, talked to about what to do with the kid and where are we going to racing and that kind of stuff? Did you have anybody like that?
No.
No? Okay.
No, we did. We just kind of stumbled through it. It's funny because we were all – it was Faulkner, Kobush, Stack.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all just kind of – we all kind of, like, I don't know, somehow ended up all together, and we all just kind of did kind of the same stuff towards, you know, in from like maybe 65s to big bikes.
Okay.
And
yep.
made it easy. But we grew up like we, if you ever, we had Joey Crowd, Mitchell Harrison, mm-hmm. Jacob Edison, it's Jacob Williamson. We had some guys so fast up in Michigan that we would just have to pop in there anytime, you know, and get to race guys that were at national level, you know. So it was pretty easy. And then we just kind of ended up doing all the stuff with like those guys, and
okay.
kind of just ended up that way. I really didn't have anybody that.
Yeah.
I always said that like some kid from Illinois will probably, you know, it'll click with them, and that kid could be, you know, he'll be a supercross champ, and you know, hopefully we just don't have one, but we have multiples. But yeah. you know, it kind of worked out for us.
You ever have anything to do with Barnett ever? Illinois' greatest?
No, I never met him or anything. He did build a track at Casey. So we got to ride that, but that's about it. That's the closest I came to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's way in the early 80s, but, you know, you hear the stories of Barnett and all the guys from Illinois, Wallenberg and Rusty Ott, and those dudes, you know, they're all from Illinois. They talk about it a lot.
We know Rusty. Junior Jackson was probably we would go to the track with him sometimes and stuff like that, so we hung around with him some, but... I didn't really have anybody for like a mentor, you know, to guide us. But we had some really fast guys. Like we had this Saturday night race that was, I mean, one night I actually raced against Dave Edel, Greg Albertine.
Oh, really? Okay.
Tommy Hoffmaster. Like I had to race those guys in like plus 25.
Yeah,
So, but we had this track that Brad Majewski. We had. Ross Martin, you ever heard of him, the snowmobile guy?
Yeah.
But, dude, he's so good on a bike. It's crazy. But we got to watch those guys every night, every Saturday night, like within right in front of us. So
what was that, that fair race around Red Bud time in Wisconsin? What the hell
Lake Geneva?
I don't know, remember what it was, but it was a big race.
Lake Geneva.
Yeah. Were you in Chase at all those things on an 80s and – 60s and all that stuff? Yeah.
Man, I don't think we ever raced Lake Geneva. Might have went and watched one of the races, but, you know, like Chad Johnson and guys like that would all show up. And,
Hoffmaster.
Yep. Hoffmaster actually became a pretty good friend of ours. And so, you know, we got to watch him and it was pretty cool.
This might be a dumb question. Have you been to every race of Chase? Do you go to every single race? Yeah, okay, so you've never missed a race.
I did. So, Macy was born and I had to take Chase and drop him off. So I flew in and got to see him coming around like the last.
What year is this? What are we talking?
Big sweeper. He was on 50 junior.
Okay.
So that was it. I missed almost the whole race, but I got to catch just the end of it. So.
Wow. So you've been at every single race. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't really race without me or anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's a lot of, that's nuts. And so when, you know, kind of like, again, you know, when you guys first came on the scene and you're working with Chase, a little bit of me is shaking my head going, oh man, like the dad is so involved. And again, like I said, we've seen so many dads just ruin the kid's career. We know them and we know the stories and you're not that way. And you know, you're hard on him, but you're also a very good, idea of when he's riding well, what he needs to do, all of that stuff. You guys are a good team. I get it. And I've, you know, changed that thinking of mine. But, yeah, so many times I'm just like, oh, boy, the dad. But, man, it's working. It's working. Your kid's supercross champ, you know? So.
Yeah. It does. But, I mean, I got to be honest. Like, I see like, these kids and guys that Chase has raced with and stuff like that. And I feel like the parents, maybe the industry wants them to move away, like, and it's happened to families that we know personally to where they move them away and then the kid doesn't really accomplish as much as I thought he could have, correct?
Yep.
It's easy to say that every parent, you know, to just say that they're all going to be crazy. I mean, they got there for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the families some of them get pushed maybe away that shouldn't, but I'm sure there's been their fair share that wasn't a good thing. But
yeah, it works both ways, right? It's because some of the teams are like, man, we can't deal with this dad. Like we want the kid to win just like the dad do to make us look good, you know? So I think the teams have their guard up and the dads have their guard up, right?
But I go into it like I will call a spade, like, the bike's not working. Is it Chase's fault or is it this fault? You know what I mean? I will probably err towards I'm going to yell at Chase instead.
I've heard that.
So maybe that's a little bit different, but I know plenty of parents that are good parents and they kind of moved away from the kids and I don't think they accomplished what they maybe could have, you know, or are out of the sport now, you know, so. But the kids get there for a reason, you know, that's because of that crazy dad or mom or whatever, you know, so.
Yeah, no, you've got a point, right? And I think Scott Mumford said the same thing, like, I've been there. I know the kid inside and out, and he's got this far, and I'm just going to let it go? Like, you know, like, not really.
Yeah, you're vested, like, you're into it so far that you, and I don't think, I mean, maybe there is some out there thinking that this is how they're going to retire and all, but I don't think it ever starts that way. I would hope not, right? So, but, I think that they're just invested and they've got so much time in it. And maybe some of them do hold back, but hold them back. But, you know, for the most part, I think they would have. I can't even imagine a parent that would say, I'd rather have my kid lose than, you know, listen to you. So,
exactly, right? well, cool, man. Thanks, Keir. This was fun. I'm glad we got to do it. Thanks for being honest and open and. It'll come around. It hasn't worked out Supercross season, but your kid's too good to not make it work, in my opinion. He's a pretty good dirt bike rider. So,
We're going to get her done. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Thanks for the time today on the podcast. I really appreciate it. We will see you at the races, man. Thanks for doing this.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
All right. See you, man. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.